Check out the screens for a few moments. Science buffs will recognize the solar system, at least a depiction of it. All the planets traveling around the sun, locked together through that incredible thing called gravity. An endless trip around the sun. I want you to think about that. I want you to consider the fact that these planets are locked together in their orbits around the sun. The sun is the central feature of our solar system. The planets are tethered to it. Scientists presently are reminding us that even as we go around the sun is moving in space, and yet even though it moves, we are moving with it. And it's this incredible array of God's planning. I want you to keep that picture in mind. In fact, I'll ask us, David, to go to that first slide, which will simply be a picture of that. Just, again, to seal that thought in your mind. If the sun were not there, we would not be here. Think about that. If the sun were not there, we would not be here. The sun holds everything in the solar system together. And everything in this solar system revolves around the sun. Everything in the solar system revolves around the sun. Lord God, I pray that as we look into your word, that we would gain a fuller and richer understanding of how everything in faith revolves around the sun. Jesus, thank you for your word. It is a treasure for us. It is our strength in times of trouble. It is our directional assignments. It is our foundation. It brings us hope. Thank you for your word. May we spend time in it today, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, we read these words. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. Amen. Because of the lyrical nature of these verses, many contemporary translations like the NIV set it out in kind of a poetic layout. And one advantage of this kind of poetic layout as opposed to just being in a paragraph is the power and the understanding of the sentences jump right out at you. We can see that there are two groups of three statements each, and that each of the statements are lined out. Children, fathers, young men. Children, fathers, young men. And it becomes very apparent that our passage has two sets of three sentences with a repeating structure. Next slide, David. And Jesus, the Son, is the central figure in each of those three sayings. If I were to strip away all the repeating elements of those sentences, what would be left would be the obvious core teachings. And no matter how you interpret children, fathers, and young men, and there's a lot of interpretations about them, it is absolutely true that each of the six core teachings apply to every person in the church. It applies to the church as a whole. Next slide. Just look at the core. Your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. You know Him who is from the beginning. You have overcome the evil one. You know the Father. You know Him who is from the beginning. You are strong and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And to make it obvious, I pulled out the two central sentences or phrases in the two stanzas, if you call them that. And the red letters make them easy to see. It's the only element that's repeated word for word in both stanzas. Knowing Him who is from the beginning. Who does that refer to? Well, the answer is Jesus. And I am absolutely certain and confident of that. Because do you remember back how John began this letter? The very first words he put in this letter was, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim, the word of life." And he goes on to explain, it's Jesus. And then he pulls that almost identical phrase and he puts it right here. You know Him who is from the beginning. The Him who is from the beginning is Jesus Christ. And in a very clever and stylistic manner, the old man, John, Papa John, has communicated the central and key truth of the Christian faith. Next slide. Knowing Jesus, back one please. Knowing Jesus the Son is the heart of the Christian faith. He says, you know Him who is from the beginning. His mind's eye is looking out at his church family, and he says, you know Him who is from the beginning. Knowing Jesus is the heart of the Christian faith. And this kind of knowing is not some kind of vague, you know, I know physics kind of a thing. It's an incredible heart knowing. It's a connected knowing. I have a friend who lives in Montreat, North Carolina. And she attends the same church Billy Graham goes to. And so, it's not unusual to see Billy Graham in worship, and less so now, but in his earlier years, it was very common to see Billy in worship when he wasn't traveling the world. And in fact, you could easily see Billy Graham walking around the streets of Montreat. You know, I don't know, maybe he goes in to the Drupal later and gets his cup of coffee. And people would say, you know, good morning, how are you? But she makes a point. She says, do you think I really know Billy Graham? She said, not really. He may even say hello to me because he might recognize my face from the church, but I have never had a one-on-one conversation with him or, you know, been over to his house or him to my house. I don't really know him. I just, you know him from afar. See, that's the kind of knowing that John is trying to say, is it's not the knowing someone from afar, it's the knowing someone in a personal, connected way. In fact, that same word is often used in the Greek language for a husband who knows his wife in the most intimate of ways. It's the kind of knowing that really knows. It's the kind of knowing that you have of those good friends, and you can look at them and you can say, you know, something's wrong. I'm not sure what it is, but I can just tell by the way they're standing, they're walking, that something's not right. It's that kind of, you know, intimate, personal knowing. And John even says something more about this knowing by the words he chooses. You know him who is from the beginning is a faithful way to translate it. It could be, you have known him who is from the beginning. It's a particular tense in the Greek language. It's called the perfect tense. And you're not going to be quizzed on this. I don't care if you remember it. What I want you to understand is the importance of it. The perfect tense has to do with something that happened in the past that has a continuing effect in a person's life up through today and visually on forever. It's a particular way of saying that past event was so significant that it carries through into my life today. In fact, all of the verbs here have that same happened in the past, guaranteed in the past, and have a continuing influence in life today. One commentator put it this way, the perfect tense is a past knowledge which still remains and grows. And then when he applies it to this particular verse, what he says is, it established a relationship with God and Jesus which continues to develop in the presence. It's the kind of knowing that says, yes, I know God, and I'm continuing to get to know Him more and more. It's the kind of knowing that says, I know Jesus, and I'm continuing to grow and know Him more and more as life goes on. John is reminding, my notes say, John is reminding his peeps that there was a day when they said yes to Jesus. That there was a day in the past when they put their trust and their faith in Jesus. That there was a day in the past when they believed in Jesus. That there was a day in the past when they trusted Jesus and confessed Him as Lord. And that day is reaping benefits clear through to the present day. And that moment of faith, that moment of confession, that moment of conversion, whatever language you like, whether it was days or months or years or decades ago, has a continuing impact on their lives, on our lives. They're not people who have gone astray. They're people who have stayed home with Jesus. Let me pause for a moment and ask each of us here to do a reality check. Do you have that kind of a moment in your life? When you said yes to Jesus. Now, it doesn't have to be a recognizable moment. You might not be able to say, oh, it was October 3rd, 1975, you know, at 4:35 in the afternoon. But can you say today that there is absolutely a day when you said yes to Jesus? Some of us who have grown up in the church can't think of a time when we didn't know Jesus and we kind of grew into it. That's okay. Can you face a moment? Can you think of a moment? Can you think of a time when you laid your life before Jesus? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord? Have you confessed Him as your Lord? Have you? Because if you have, and if you're like John's people who are continuing to grow that relationship with Jesus, then these phrases, these treasures offer us the incredible gift that comes with knowing Jesus. See, knowing Jesus brings incredible spiritual blessings. The core, the sun, if you will, is Jesus. And tethered to Jesus are all of these blessings that automatically come with Jesus as long as we are with Him. And so just as the planets of our solar system stay connected to the sun in the sky, so these spiritual blessings come with everyone who is connected to the Son, Jesus, by faith. And just look at that. We could spend days exploring these blessings. But all we're going to be able to do this morning is kind of a flyby, if you will, of the Jesus solar system, of the blessings, the spiritual blessings that John is saying to his people, come as we stay connected to Jesus. Your sins have been forgiven on account of His, Jesus' name. You have overcome the evil one. You know the Father. You are strong. The Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Those are spiritual blessings that come with faith in Jesus. Let's take a little peek. Your sins have been forgiven. I suppose there can be an arrogant sense. I mean, I've met people and, you know, they're so full of their own forgiveness you can't get near them. You know, they think they're so good, I'm forgiven. I mean, that's not the kind of attitude that John is carrying here. But he's picking up what he's already reminded them, what he's already written to them, what we've already looked at. The fact that when we are in Jesus, our sins have been forgiven. They have been paid in the past. That's the whole deal of the cross. That event of the cross has an ongoing effect in our lives. Our sins are forgiven. Folks, that means you don't have to carry the ongoing weight of failures. We've all got them. I was pained this last week. I had to speak to my neighbor about something, and he very quickly reminded me that I apparently neglected to do something I said I was going to do. I mean, something a year ago. I don't remember it. And all I could say was, I'm sorry. I blew it. Clearly. But I don't have to go to bed each night, you know, carrying that. I mean, I need to be a good neighbor. It's not a free get-out-of-jail card. But those things can weigh on us. And on the flip side, it was really kind of a little minor thing, and I really kind of felt bad for my neighbor. I mean, for a whole year he's carrying this thing, and it's like the first thing that has to come out, you know, it's like, you know, that's way too much of a load to carry. You know what I mean? And Jesus is saying we don't have to live that way. And in the cosmic scope, before God, we have been washed clean. That's even better. So when we stand before God, God sees us through what Jesus did for us. That's an incredible life gift. You know, the one song Janae sang, you know, your shame is undone, because how often when we carry those sins does that kick off shame in our own life? I mean, it did for me in that conversation. I felt ashamed. But I don't have to live there. That's a gift. It comes with knowing Jesus. It's part of His solar system, His faith solar system. It's a gift. You have known the Father. You know the Father. Jesus is our connection to God the Father. We know the Father because we know the Son. John comes from a Jewish background. Very likely still, even to this day when he's writing, many of the people were from a Jewish background. The Jewish people had an incredible and have an incredible reverence for God the Father. And that's good. You know, many won't write out the word God because they don't want to offend God. They want to tread very carefully there, and that's all honorable and wonderful. But it can lead to an estrangement because I can't know that God. He can be so completely distant and other that God becomes unknowable. And what Jesus is reminding the people is that by knowing Him, we know God the Father too. That we want to maintain that deep reverence for God the Father. But we don't have to do it from a distant. We don't have to do it as if we're cowering before, you know, an angry God. We can keep the reverence, but we can also know Him. And elsewhere in Scripture, we're invited to call God the Father, Abba, which is the, you know, it's what a little child would say, Daddy or Dad. And it speaks to that intimate connection we can have with the Father because we know the Son, Jesus. And then the last one, and again, these are just flybys, but you've overcome the evil one. You are strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Martin Luther, in his well-known hymn, A Mighty Fortress, has us sing, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear. For God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. For lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Can't say for sure what that little word is, but I suspect it's Jesus. Again, it's a past action. Jesus defeated the enemy on the cross. Read Colossians 2. And he triumphed over him, making a public spectacle, a mockery of him through the cross. Again, we sang this morning, God of angel armies is always at our side. That's what John is communicating here. And watch what he does in the second. You are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. When someone adds things like that, you know, it's kind of pay attention. And though this whole idea will come up later in the letter and we'll hold most of our thoughts until that time, please note that addition, particularly that longer phrase, and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. God's word is our prime weapon against the enemy. When Jesus went out into the desert and he was tempted by Satan, do we have wonderful Jesus statements at that point? No. He quoted Scripture. Because the Word of God is our absolute surest defense against the voice of the enemy, the wiles and schemes of the enemy. I've asked you if you know Jesus, if you've had that moment of decision with Jesus. And the second thing I'll ask is are you taking his word into your life? It's your surest defense. It's my surest defense. Do you spend time regularly in the word? Reading it yourself, meeting with one other person or a group of people in a Bible study, are you here? Because we know for sure this is God's Word. That's our faith statement. This church is built on that. And John reminds us that it is our surest defense in our overcoming of the evil. God wins, absolutely for sure. There is no doubt about that. And because you're in Christ, you will win with God. Guaranteed. But you don't have to be harassed along the way. And your greatest weapon, you can hold in your hand. In fact, your greatest weapon, you can carry with you. You know, I've switched. I probably do 90% of my Bible reading on my phone or my iPad. Because I can take it with me everywhere I go. I can be in a meeting, you know, religious meeting, obviously, and something comes up and I can open this up and there I can find what I'm looking for. Whether you want electronic versions or printed versions or whether you want to go and get it on a parchment and be able to unroll it like Jesus did, I don't care. But are you availing yourself of the protection and the wonder and the truth that is contained in this book? John writes, your sins have been forgiven on account of him. You know him who is from the beginning. You have overcome the evil one. You know the Father. You know him who is from the beginning. You are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Friends, that's all God's gift if we live in the solar system, if you will, of Jesus Christ, with Christ at the center and His blessings around. In a few moments after the offering, we're going to come to the table and we're going to gather around the table. And I'm going to invite you to come and share in the bread and share in the cup. If you know Jesus, if you have put your faith in Jesus, whether you did that this morning or, you know, 1,000 mornings ago, come, because He loves you. And He's got incredible blessings that all come from knowing Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, thank You for Jesus. We can never, Lord God, stray when we have Jesus at the center. Help us all to keep Him there and then to trust the various blessings that come because we know Jesus. Thank You for this reminder from John. Draw us close to You, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.